Florida officials are asking the feds for emergency food assistance. From Marketplace, I'm Nova Safoin for David Brancaccio. In Florida, the recovery from Hurricane Ian's devastation is ramping up. Property damage alone is expected to be in the tens of billions of dollars. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is helping temporarily patch up roofs. Nearly 2,000 volunteer organizations are assisting with the massive cleanup operation. And state officials are asking the federal government for special emergency food assistance through SNAP, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Marketplace's Samantha Fields has more on that.
There are a couple of ways that the SNAP program can expand after a hurricane to help people who are struggling to afford food.
Disaster SNAP is a temporary program for households that are affected by a natural disaster.
Lizbeth Silberman is head of the SNAP program. She says many people can get these benefits even if they wouldn't normally qualify for SNAP, if they've had some kind of storm-related expense.
When people have had major devastation and sometimes are temporarily out of jobs, it's a vital, vital way for them to make ends meet.
Disaster SNAP, or DSNAP, is usually available for about a month after a storm, sometimes longer. Irene Lewis at the Food Research and Action Center says there's also emergency help for people who were already receiving regular SNAP.
With flooding and with power outages, sometimes families lose the food that they have in their fridge.
And if that's happened, Lewis says, they can apply for extra benefits to replace it. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
The Nobel Prize in Literature comes out today, and winning the prize is like a film winning an Oscar. It can bring new eyeballs to sometimes relatively obscure works. Here's Marketplace's Stephanie Hughes.
When Abdulrazak Gurna won the Nobel in Literature last year, his print book sales in the U.S. were low. Only 49 copies in the prior year, according to NPD BookScan. Peter Strauss of RCW is his agent.
So he was known, but not hugely known.
Since winning the Nobel, Gurna, who was born in Zanzibar and now lives in England, has sold over 26,000 copies here. And Strauss says his 10 books went from being available in just a few countries to over 40.
And there was a huge body of work, and the publishers embraced that.
The Nobel effect is apparent for other authors, too, even if they don't win in literature. Daniel Kahneman won the prize in economics in 2002. Cambridge University Press had published several of Kahneman's books before that. Editor Stephen Nacera says sales jumped immediately in the first year and have remained high.
I would say, though, at the same time, it wasn't like it jumped to the top of the New York Times bestseller list. These are pretty academic specialist books.
As Sarah points out, the prize also comes with other benefits, like increased awareness of the field of work. I'm Stephanie Hughes for Marketplace.
And the Nobel Prize in Economics, by the way, comes out on Monday. Stay tuned for that. Let's do the numbers. Well, Wall Street is set to open lower in pre-market trading. The Dow is down over 0.5%. The S&P 500 is down 0.7%. Overseas, European and Asian markets are mostly lower. The FTSE in London is down 0.5%. The U.S. 10-year Treasury yield is up at 3.77%. There's a Netflix film out about a shadowy payments company which collapses as investigative reporters dig into its accounting practices. Sounds like a great thriller, except that it's a documentary about the now-defunct German firm Wirecard, which was once one of the most valuable companies on the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. The investigative reporter at the center of the story is Dan McCrum of the Financial Times. He spoke with David Brancaccio.
For those unfamiliar here in the U.S., what can we call Wirecard? Is it like PayPal, but based in Europe or something?
That's pretty much it. It was a big, successful technology company, which had something to do with moving money around and credit card payments.
So you and your team found evidence of shenanigans, corruption, and fraud, big time. Give us a taste.
Shenanigans is putting it lightly. I started to look into it, and I thought, its numbers didn't really add up. It looked a bit fraudy, shall we say. And the strange thing was, the more I dug, the stranger and more bizarre the story gets. So I think I'm looking into a company, but then private detectives are following people around. Hackers are trying to break into our email. And we start to realize Russian spies are maybe hanging out with the guys who were running the company.
Ooh. Now, I want to understand this a little bit better. You start reporting on this, but you start spotting the signs that somebody, maybe the company, is spying on you?
I start writing these stories saying, I'm not sure about this company's accounts. Things start to heat up, and we start to discover that there's this team of 30 private detectives who are running around London trying to get photos of our sources, you know, talking to journalists, colluding to try and bring down this big technology company. I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know if you're familiar with the Theranos story, but it's a bit like that, just on steroids.
Yeah, and there are echoes of Enron, but I don't think they had any of the Wall Street Journal guys followed who were working on that story. But you're saying there was more, that it becomes an official investigation into your team and the paper. Police get involved?
Yes, it was this very large German company. And we start publishing stories saying there's fraud happening inside here. And what the German government does is step in to protect the company. They ban speculation in the shares. And then they start investigating me and my colleagues for market manipulation. They're convinced we've been leaking our stories to speculators so they can use them to profit.
And you're not.
No, I should say very clearly, no, we're not. They're rather embarrassed about that whole thing now.
Dan McCrum, investigative reporter at the Financial Times, and his work is a key ingredient for the new Netflix documentary called Scandal, spelled with a K the German way. Dan, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on.
And thanks to David Brancaccio for that interview. I'm Nova Safo with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.